If you've been studying with us on Wednesdays, you truly realize that this run of life is coming quickly to an end. Everything that God kind of gave us as foresight, what would be happening in the world, is happening before our very eyes. And we talked about Wednesday night, the next big event is a trumpet sounding. And that could happen today.
Amen.
And our life, that we know it, would be different from now to eternity. Some that are in this building that are not saved, you've got eternity of hell to look forward to. Those that are saved have accountability time coming your way. And I want to talk to you from the book of Philippians this morning, chapter number 1. My studying habits have changed a whole bunch, Brother Greg, since I had this stroke. And so I study about 5 minutes increments at a time, and I got to eat and digest a little bit and hopefully hang on to that. I'm finding myself having to make more notes than I used to. The problem, Scott, is when I read my notes, I don't know what they mean. So I don't know if that's being 53 or if that's something else, but God is good.
Amen.
He's good when?
All the time.
All the time what?
God.
And I got to remind myself of that. And God knows what He's doing. And I think maybe it's God's way of getting me more ready in the teaching mode that He's about to place me in more than the preaching mode. I've always loved preaching. I love to just read a verse and pitch a fit. Now if I pitch a fit, I fall down. And I can't remember what I'm pitching a fit about. I might even preach against styrofoam or something. I don't know. Just to be against something. But in the book of Philippians, I think God gives us a better idea about the Christian life. I found myself in the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, looking at really what God's plan was when He established the church, what His goal was in reaching the world. And somehow, some way, we have twisted all of that. And I'm afraid music has had a big influence on us. How many like country? I'm not going to preach against country music, okay? I'm just asking, how many of you like country music? You ever notice that our thinking about God is usually intertwined with country music? More than we give credit for. See, in a country music song, if you do wrong, who still loves you? God does. And what are you going to try to do? Better, right? I was thinking about lyrics I heard the other day. We were traveling, and one of the kids, I won't say which one, Aaron, but he likes to listen to some country music. And we got in the car, and the song come on. And it said, because Jesus drank wine, I know He'd be a good what? Friend of mine, some of you know. Because He's calmed the storms and gave sight to the blind, and He knows how to help a heart like mine or something like that. Who knows the song a little bit? I got two people who admitting they listen to country music. There's one that will probably be played at Sarah's wedding. She's a rebel child and a preacher's daughter. She was baptized in dirty water. She left her daddy preaching to the choir, you see. She got on the back seat of my motorcycle with the Bible with her, you know. And that's Sarah, I guess. I don't know. Johnny don't have a motorcycle, so he may not be the husband. We're not sure about that one. But that's definitely the song, because I did dunk her in dirty water. But most of the Bible does not even preach anything like songs are. You know, Jesus take the wheel is really not scriptural. He should have had the wheel a long time ago before you tried to give it to Him. But I want you to understand today that our idea of sin and church, we've got it all wrong. And I hear songs about God's forgetfulness. God doesn't forget anything. Oh, Brother Steve, you cast everything into the sea of the forgetfulness. It's not in the Bible. No, you think God knows the Bible? You think He's read about David and Bathsheba? Every day He knows about David and Bathsheba, right? God doesn't forget. Wouldn't life be so much better, Scott, though, if people would forget? Like, you know, how long have you been married? Go ahead, you can talk out loud. 12 years. Are there some things that He's done, Amanda, that you like to forget? And wouldn't your marriage probably be better if you could forget them? Would you agree with that, Scott? But she might forgive you, but forgetting is a different ball game, right? And I want you to understand something. We serve a God who's promised to forgive. But you will not show me Scripture that He said, I'll forget it. It's not in the Scripture. And so our goal in life, every time we walk into a church building, I want to try to do better. I'm going to quit doing some things I used to do. I'm going to try to start thinking better. I'm just going to be a better person. I'm going to try my best to be a better person. What if? God's ultimate goal for you is not to be better. What if I could show you in the Bible what God wants you to be, but it's not better? How many would feel better if you knew there was something else God wanted besides you being better? Let me ask you a question. How many of you are struggling with getting better?
Amen.
How many want to be better?
Amen.
How many it's just not happening? You try better, you try to do better. Every January the 1st, you try to do better, you make some new goals. And how many of your things that you set in goal for January the 1st have already done, finished, you done quit? We're 6 months in. How many has done just me and Miss Madeline? I'm just going to call her out. She quit when I quit. Anybody else? I got a couple more. So everybody else is right on the game plan you started January the 1st, right?
You didn't start nothing.
That's the best way, Scott. So I want to show you today, from God's Word, what His plan is for your life. Philippians chapter number 1. I'm going to start reading with verse number 3. I put it for a title. Being a Christian is more than just staying out of trouble. That was my goal, Justin, when I first got saved, was I'm going to try to stay out of trouble. I didn't do too good at that. Still have problems with that. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
But being a Christian is more than just staying out of trouble. Verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I can relate to Paul in these 3 verses. I think of some of you all on a daily basis. I really do. And I think of some of you all with joy on a daily basis, because you have been co-laborers with me with the gospel. Some of you, I pray that you get involved more. That's my prayer for you. I'd love for you to see what it's like to be a co-laborer in the gospel. Some of you, I think, would find out there's a lot of joy in serving God. And God may not ask you to move to a foreign country. You'd be surprised what God might ask you to do. What God might ask you to do is doable. Gracie sent me a text yesterday. I text her back an answer, but this is what she texts me. She said, I'm at the gas station, and there was a I was hungry, and I thought it was time for me to go to work, but I realized I had another hour. And so I was looking for something to eat, and all they had was a pizza, stuffed pizza that had been there a long time. And she said, I'll get that, but you could tell in the text message she wasn't really excited about getting that. While she was waiting in line, there's an older lady trying to pay for her food, and she had pennies out, and she was trying to pay for her food, and she realized she didn't have enough food money to get food or gas. She's going to have to let one of them go. And she really needed the gas, so she put the food aside and put some money out to get the gas. When the lady went out, Gracie stepped up, and she paid for the lady's food. And this is what she texted me in the end. She said, I realize now why I thought work was a two, and it was really a one, but it was really a two, because God wanted me to be there to help that lady. And I text her back something in this order. I love it when people get what God's trying to do. God's wanting to do this in every one of your lives. Well, I don't want to buy nobody's food. He may not ask you to. He may ask you to help change a tire. He might just need somebody to pray with them. When that lady found out that she paid for her, she came around and gave Gracie a hug. And Gracie shared the gospel with her. And she accepted Christ and be peace that she had. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great for Gracie. Wow, that's wonderful. God's asked that of every one of you. Of the WCs and Ida Mays. Of the Jack Meeses and the Bakers, Joey Bakers. And the Mikes, he's asked that. But we've got to be willing to do it. But I thank God daily for the people who want to serve God together with me. And that's all Paul said. If we're not careful, we've made church a one-man show. And we've got church, everything's got to be paid by a staff. When I talk to other pastors and they get a little bit bigger than we are, they got full-time paid staff. I'm thankful if Brian's late, Jesse will get up here and lead the singing. And if he wants, I guarantee I can tag Brother Dean Kaufman. He ain't like volunteering, but I'll do it. If he's not here, it's probably going to be Kane. So get ready, Kane. But I'm telling you, this is not a job. Serving God, if you make it a job, you'll never be satisfied in serving God. God's put a call on every one of our lives to serve Him. And I'm going to show you how that's done. Because everybody in this room just wants to be better and stay out of trouble. How do they keep making the same mistakes twice? Three times? How many quit counting how many times they've done the same stupid thing over and over? Remember I told you several weeks ago about a hot mess? How do we know someone's a mess? How are we a good judge of a mess? Because we're a mess, right? That's how I know somebody's a mess. Because I'm a mess. And God came into this world to save messes and meeses. Verse number 6. Here's the message. Being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've always been a reader of commentaries. And I've got a bunch of them. I think I'm going to make a fire out of a whole bunch of them now. I'm reading in one of the commentaries last night about this verse. And this is why one of the commentaries said that these people in Philippi had brought Paul money, and he was thanking them for that money they brought him, and they're going to continue to bring him money. I hope you don't believe that junk. Listen to what God says through Paul. Being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, God started something in your life. I shared in Sunday school class, Jamie's class this morning, I don't think God changes your personality. When you got saved, you had the same personality you had before you were saved. But God's going to take that personality now and use it for His honor and His glory. Remember, you were created from the very beginning in your mother's womb for God. Listen, there's not a predestined bone in my body. God created man, women. He created little baby boys and little baby girls. And He knew which sex they were, by the way, when they were born. He wasn't confused which bathroom they needed to go to. He knew that. And when God created them, I believe God created them, by the way. Yeah, but I was raped and I had this happen to me. I understand and so does God. But that child is a gift from God, and God knew that life. Thank you, Kay. Everybody else left. I'm not pro-choice, I'm pro-life. God's a giver and taker of life. Thank you, Brother Dickey. This is touchy, apparently. It shouldn't be touchy for a Baptist church, folks. This should be our stuff. And I'm telling you today, when that little heart started beating, God had a purpose for that life. He said in Jeremiah, I knew you, and I formed you in your mother's womb. God has a plan for that life. But He's not going to force His will on your life. There's going to be a choice you have to make. Some of you that just graduated high school, you got the bull by the horn and you're ready to go out there and do life and you're ready to get out of your mom and dad's house and your mom and dad are like, thank you, Lord, let them go. It won't be long you'll be wanting to come back because it's pretty good. I mean, if mom and dad take me now in my family, we're back in. Somebody cook clean? I'm in. She's shaking her head no, but mom, I really need your help right now. But here's what I'm telling you today. When you made the choice to accept Jesus, God was calling upon you. He's knocking at your heart's door. No man could come to the Father except He be drawn. The Spirit of God's working on you. You're realizing you have a need in your life. You realize there's something missing in your life. And you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your personality is still the same. But God wants to use it for Him now. Some of you were hateful before you were saved. And you're still hateful afterwards. That's your personality. It's okay. God didn't make a mistake. Some people like to run wide open and go to other countries. Some people don't want to leave the U.S. of A. That's how God made you. And when He saved you, He didn't change your personality, but He said this, He began a good work in you. And He said He will perform it until when? When is the day of Jesus Christ? Either you die or the rapture happens. Now what do you know about that verse then? Your life going to change instantaneously? I sure wish it would. I'd be much happier, wouldn't you? If all the things I've ever done would just go out of my mind, and I would never think about them ever again, and all I would do is good every day the rest of my life, Brother God, I'd be happy with that. But you know songs I listened to in 1976? I still know the words to. And I can't tell you what I preached last week, but I know a song in 1976 really good. And I had bell bottoms to go with it. What I learned from this passage of Scripture is one simple thing. The work is inside out. We've so messed up, Jamie. We're messing churches up. We're telling everybody it's about wearing a dress and wearing a tie. You gotta be this. Listen, God changes you from the inside out. And anything you change without His help, it's just hypocritical change. And I'll show you how I can prove that in just a minute. But God wants you to understand, He started something on the inside of you that's not done yet. Now keep reading. Because, preacher, when it gets done, I'll stay out of trouble and I'll do better. No. He says in verse 7, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." He just say, you know where Paul's at, by the way? Paul's in prison. He's in prison in Rome. Nero's in charge. If you're a Christian and you're in prison in Rome in Nero's day, you're dead meat. So Paul is dead meat. Paul knows his days are numbered and Paul's about to die eventually. He knows he's hit the end of the road. So Paul writes a letter, not a book. We call this the book of Philippians, but it was a letter. It was such a good letter that people began to copy that letter and pass it around to other people because this letter was going to be a letter of encouragement. And look what he says. "In this I pray." Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What do you pray for other people? Let me rephrase that for a second. Who here prays for other people? What do you pray for other people? Just out of curiosity, Greg, what do you pray for other people?
Depends on people.
Okay. What do you pray for me?
Get strengthened in the work.
All right. What do you pray for Jamie?
Which Jamie?
Back there. I forgot you have a Jamie. What do you pray for that Jamie, preacher Jamie?
That he continues.
What about your Jamie, your daughter Jamie?
A lot of things
for her. I want you to listen to what Paul's prayer was. Now listen to this. Josiah, this is a deathbed prayer. Kind of, right? Because he's going to die. What would you pray to God for somebody that you really loved? Read this with me. "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment." How many of you pray for love of people? For their love? How many of you do you pray for somebody else's love? And the love wasn't to God. Read this. "I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. That ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." What was his prayer? His prayer was simple. God, help them to love like you love. Help them to understand really what love is. That'd make a good song, Brian. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. That's from Philippians. You know that song, do you? It's from Philippians. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. The world's idea of love is all messed up. Do you know what God's idea of love is? Do you know what God wants out of you Christians that showed up into this church this morning? He doesn't want you to stay out of trouble and do better. How many feel better about that? He wants you to learn to love like He loves. And by doing that, Scott, guess what? Look what he says. Verse 10. "That you may approve the things that are excellent." You know, if you love like you're supposed to, Scott, you'll do the right things. Look what else he says. I love this even more. "That ye may be" what? I long for the day in Christianity when it's not fake anymore but real. When people truly care, not because they're supposed to care, but they truly care because they care. I long for that day, Brother Dickey, when somebody's in trouble and I'm like, oh, if I don't stop, I'm going to feel bad about this. I long for the day when Christians care because they care. They feed homeless people because they care. They visit hospitals because they care. They try to help a sick neighbor because they care. They preach the word to lost people because they care, not because of duty. And that's exactly what Paul writes to these people on his deathbed. I want you all to know what love is. So I've been changing my prayer life lately a little bit. My prayer life has been going more like this. God, help me to see what You see. And help me to do what You want me to do. Help me see what You see. You think God sees differently than we see? Why do you think that? I know Sunday morning we got visitors and we're on the internet. Let's just have church for a minute. Why do you think you can't see like God sees?
He sees the heart.
Huh?
He sees the heart.
He sees the heart. And what's our problem? We see the exterior. But where did God make the change at in this story? He that began a good work where? Oh, a new haircut, a new tie. Woo, he's really changed. I love when people say that. I can tell he's really changed. How can you tell? Look at him. Look how he's dressed. The other day he's like this, and the other day changed. Not just got new clothes. Man looketh on the outside, and God looketh on the heart. And what we need today in this Christian world that's all confused about Christianity because of music and because everybody reads other books besides the Bible, what's happened is we forget about what God's doing on the inside. There should not be a judgmental person in this building. Because there's not one of you can look at somebody and know what their heart is. Oh, I think after a while you can tell their heart. No, you can't. But God can. And He said that He began a good work. Can you speed that up? That's what I've been trying to figure out, Adam A. Can I speed this up? Like, can I do extra classes or something to speed this up? No, you can't. It's the parable of the seed and the sower. A seed's planted. Can you speed it up? Can you sit there and look over that little piece of corn you dropped in the ground? Come on, corn, come on. I'm not going to worry about the other 1,000. I'm worried about you. I want you to outgrow the rest of them. Can you talk taller? Can you hang out with it more? Make it get bigger quicker? You put it in the ground. You put fertilizer on it. It's going to rain. God controls that. The sun, God's going to control that. And guess what that's going to do? Yeah, but I can't wait 60-day corn. I need some 40-day corn. Well, eat it raw then. Not filled out. It takes time to mature. Now, I tell you when you're going to be full grown according to what I've read today, when you're with Christ. So until then, you're a work in progress. I had two verses, didn't have time to read them, but I'll give them to you. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 talks about when you come before God with a sacrifice or a gift and you realize you got ought against somebody, what are you to do? I thought about this scenario because we can't imagine this in America in 2016 in an air-conditioned building. But let's go back 2,000 years ago, 2,000 maybe 15 years ago, and let's go back to Jesus' day, and everybody's lining up at the temple. It's hot outside. You've got your sheep, you've got your dove, you've got whatever you're going to offer for a sacrifice. You've been standing in line cave waiting your turn. You get to number 2 in line. And when you get to number 2 in line, you realize, oh, dadgum, I forgot. I said, I got problems with Jesse Jones. I'm 2 from the front. What am I going to do? You're going to go tie that goat up to the fence over here, and you're going to Jesse Jones' house, and make that right with Him, and then you're going to come back and get in the back of the line. You know what everybody said when Jesus said that? The Bible said they all gasped. What? Because He was trying to teach them something. And you know what He's teaching them, Sherry? He's teaching them, I want you to love everyone like I love everyone. Y'all believe God loves everyone?
Yes.
I mean, loves everyone the same?
Yes.
Matthew 5 is a good place to read. Also read James 1:27. Pure religion and non-defiled is what? Anybody remember that verse in James 1:27? Visit the widows. Orphans. What did he say by this? Let me read it to you. Y'all are confused, confounded, and troubled and worried that you're going to miss your place in line. He said this, pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father is this, visit the fatherless, widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. Then my favorite is John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. So preacher, what are you telling me? I'm telling you very simply today this. God's not worried about you getting better, staying out of trouble. Because He started something on the inside of you when you got saved. If you're not saved, nothing's happening. I'm being honest with you. But if you're saved, something's happening. You know, the only difference between you and your friends might be that you feel guilty when you do the same things that they do. Your friends are saying, you goofed up, you should have never got saved because I don't feel guilty. Well, thank the Lord you feel guilty. That's a good sign that something changed on the inside. But here, let me tell you what God is telling us through Paul today. Whatever happened on the inside of Mike, eventually is going to show on the outside of Mike, but not in his clothes. How he treats Justin Ray.
Amen.
How he treats the people that talks about him. Because whatever happened on the inside eventually is going to come out on the outside. I want to do better. That's great. I want to stay out of trouble. It's wonderful. That's not what God's worried about today. He's worried about what's coming out of you. And what He wants to come out of you is love. If you're loving like you should, guess what's going to happen? You're going to stay out of trouble. When you're doing to others... I know you want to go home, but I got to say this. You ever notice when you try to do things for yourself when you get in trouble? If you try to do something for somebody else, Nick, you ever notice how it works out usually every time? How many notice that? Just stand with me. I know what you're talking about. When I try to do something for myself, set some money aside, I try to get this and that so I can buy this, and I always find myself in trouble. But if somebody needs something to put a little money in for a missionary or put a little money in for the church to do something, God always blesses that and I never have any trouble. How do you know what I'm talking about? Because He began a good work in you. It's not about you anymore. It's about what you can do for God through Him. So I'm going to pray for you today. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If God began a good work in you, I just want you to raise your hand. Preacher, I know I'm saved and God's done it. God started something in me. You can put them down. How many of you feel like it's going slow? Raise your hand. How many today realize it's not about being better, but it's about loving? Then my message is there. And God will bless that in your life. Lord, thank You today for Your love, Your Word. Thank You for making things simple when we try to make things hard. Lord, I do want to let what's on the inside come out on the outside. The Lord, sometimes it's struggle. I struggle. My words I say are not the right words to say. My attitude's not the right attitude. But Lord, I'm learning to trust You. Lord, I know You're working, and I know things I'm going through in my life are part of the work process. So Lord, I thank You for everything that I have been through recently, because I know as a result You're getting me where I need to be so You can use me more. But Lord, I pray for this group of people today. Lord, I want to labor with them so much in the gospel. I want to have Bible schools like we've never had before. But Lord, I just pray that You encourage hearts to get more involved. Not in the church work, but in Your work. Through Your church. We just don't want to be doers of stuff. We want to be doers of the Word. We want pure religion. So God guide us today in everything. In Christ's name, amen.